We now move into the uses of this doctrine on a discourse of thankfulness. Use number one. The first use is to exhort you to this duty of thankfulness, unto which, as you have the greatest motive drawn from the object of it, that is the riches of God's goodness. Of all cords, the cords of love are the sweetest. And so also from the goodness and excellency of the duty itself, which indeed has all kinds of goodness met in it. For the philosopher reduces all good things to three kinds. Number one, honest things. Number two, profitable things. Number three, pleasant things. And all three meet in this duty, a perfect trinity of goodness. And thus we read, quote, "Praise the Lord, for it is good," close quote. That is, it is profitable, and it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Psalm 147, verse 1. And therefore, on the contrary, every kind of evil is contained in unthankfulness. Even the heathen bear witness to the truth of this. Ingratium sit dexeris omnia dexeris. All evil is spoken in this one word, unthankfulness. And number one, thankfulness to God is most profitable. Letter A, because it is the way to get more. And unthankfulness is the way to lose all that we have. Therefore, quote, "Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving," close quote. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Requests alone will not otherwise move God. It is not merely earnestness for what you need, but also thanksgiving for what you already have, which must prevail. As one puts water into the pump in order to fetch out more, and so also, returning thanks helps to fetch more mercies. But the lack of thankfulness and returning everything unto God forfeits all the blessings you have. Quote, "Because you serve not the Lord with gladness of heart in abundance of all things, you shall serve your enemies in want." Close quote. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 through 48. Enemies are opposed to God, a bountiful master. Abundance to poverty and gladness to grief and sorrow of heart. These two sides are greatly opposed to each other, and it is unthankfulness that ushers it in. For when the Israelites were unthankful, God said, quote, "I will take my corn away," close quote. Hosea chapter 2, verse 9. Letter B. It is also profitable because the very things that you have been given and the same self-same blessings which you enjoy are blessed to you by it and thereby made good. Quote, "For every creature of God is good, if it be received with thanksgiving," close quote. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Now take note, he puts in that if, for otherwise God's curse accompanies them, which thankfulness removes. Number two, thankfulness is pleasant to both God and man. Letter A, well, it is pleasant to God. Quote, "Sing psalms, making melody to God in your hearts," close quote. And also giving thanks, for that is the song. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. And, quote, "I will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock," close quote. Psalm 69, verses 30 through 31. Letter B. It is pleasant to man, for the basis of thankfulness is, well, always joy. and we never truly thank God unless our hearts are warmed with His love, and we are rejoicing in Him. Therefore, when Mary praised God, she said, My spirit doth magnify the Lord, and rejoice in God my Savior. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 47. And as joy is the basis of thankfulness, and so also it is the fruit and result of it. When you thank God most heartily, God fills your heart with peace. Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving, and the peace of God shall rule your hearts. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Now Christians find this to be true. The blessings which are sweetest to them, and those which they are most thankful for, are those that have been won with prayers and worn with thanks. Number 3. Thankfulness is also comely, for it is the paying of a debt. We are obliged to give thanks, and it is fitting to give thanks, as the Apostle Paul says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It is all that God requires, and all that we can do. Thus, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 19 through 20, when David had recounted all the great mercies that God had shown his people, he said, quote, Lord, what can thy servant say more? Close quote. It was all that he could do. Well, he could only thank him and serve him out of thankfulness. And this is all that God requires of us. And this is the will of God concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, even as it is comely, as being but giving what is due, and less than is due, and yet all that we can give. And so, also it is honorable, yea, more honorable than praying. Prestantius est dare quam accipiere. It is more important to give than receive. And so, to return than to beg, consider further Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 16. Therefore, the service of the world to come and of angels in heaven is set forth by this. Use number 2. Let me show you your unthankfulness unto God and permit you to see what unthankfulness is. I will briefly set it forth for you in 3 degrees of it, which I will apply unto you. Number 1. The first degree of unthankfulness is when you lack true thankfulness in expressing thanksgiving, when you lack the true grounds and ends of it. Now, among men, there is no greater falsehood and dissemblance than in the matter of thankfulness one to another, and much more to God. Often there is the matter, the duty, the tokens and expressions of thankfulness in both word and deed, yet the life and the soul of it is missing. In other words, you're going through the motions, but the real intent is gone, not there. And as you may pray improperly, as James says in James chapter 4, verse 3, and so also you may be thankful improperly. Now, as an example of this, consider the Pharisee who said, I thank God that I am not like other men. Luke chapter 18, verse 11. Now, here is a man that is outwardly thankful, yet he lacks the power of true thankfulness. For he did not give God the glory for what he was, but in his heart took that for himself. He did indeed render an acknowledgement as having come from God, yet he gloried in it as though he had not received it from him. Now some men will commend their own worth and gifts to others by way of thankfulness unto God, when instead they aim more at glorifying themselves than glorifying God. And the same is true when men are thankful for mercies, which indeed they have not received from God, having no assurance or evidence of it. It is an ordinary thing for men to give thanks for election and the work of grace when inwardly their hearts tell them that they have no assurance of either. To thank God for mercies that you do not have, well, that's to mock him. As the Pharisee gloried in what he had received, as though he had not received it, and so some give thanks for what they have not received, as though they had received it. And so also, some men seem to be thankful when they say, well, we bless God for the means of grace, the blessed preaching that we live under, and for the company of God's people. Yet, their hearts are more affected with the value and esteem of their corn, wine, oil, and quails more than they are for this manna. Now, all this is unthankfulness. And so also, some men seem to be very stirring for God, forward in their duties, and fearful of injuries and wrongs done unto him, and yet do not do these things out of thankfulness. It is unthankfulness when it is not his goodness they most fear in abstaining from sin. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. They restrain themselves from wronging him, not because he has been kind to them. The love of God and his goodness is not what compels them to do their duties. What they do for him is not in relation to what has transpired and what he has done for them already, but rather they look only to things to come, the dependence they have upon him, considering how they are in his danger rather than in his debt. Not so much to repay him who has done so much for them, but lest he should reward them for all they have done against him. Now, if this is your case, brothers and sisters, and you should offer rivers of oil to him and give your body to be burned for him on these grounds only, yet you might be termed or deemed unthankful. Might be. Well, thankfulness has no greater end than itself. When a man looks upon God as one who has saved him from hanging in hell, and one to whom he owes his life, and thus, as a result, would be content to do or suffer anything for him, being glad if only God would use him or call him to either, and being eager for opportunities to render back unto him, and glad for an occasion in which he may show himself to love him, being thankful for nothing more than that he is able to do anything that pleases him, and that may be accepted by him. Well, this man is a thankful man. And as much of this as you have in your heart, this is how much thankfulness you have. The man that endeavors to quicken his heart, saying, I have received all these mercies from God, more so than any of my peers, more gifts, more talents, more learning, more honor, and more opportunities. Therefore, what shall I do for him that is more than other men can do? And he serves him in this way. This is a thankful man. Number two, the second degree of unthankfulness is much more than the former, for it is not rendering anything at all. Not only rendering amiss, but not rendering at all. Or at least not in any measure proportionate to the mercies which have been received. Herod had received much assistance in the making of an eloquent oration, and God had made it take. But he did not give the glory unto God, and that was his sin. He rendered not again. Acts chapter 12, verses 21 through 23. And so, Hezekiah was a good man. He had received a great mercy, for he had the lease of his life renewed for 15 years, and his kingdom with it, and a deliverance from Sennacherib, and this at the time when the rest of the tribes were carried away as captives. He had a miracle wrought for his sake, which made him famous all over the world, namely, the going back of the sun. This made him appear unto others as dear to the God of heaven, who, beyond the course of nature, lengthened the day to show that he had intended to lengthen his life. And yet, he is faulted for failing to render thanks for the benefits done unto him. Excuse me. His heart was not wrought upon to be any better after so great a mercy, or at least not in proportion with what which might be expected. Solomon is also charged with this kind of ingratitude. God had been exceedingly merciful unto him, not only in giving him the kingdom, though he was a younger brother, but in appearing unto him and assuring him of his love and acceptance, and that he was his God. Now the text says that his sin was aggravated by this. Quote, he turned away from the Lord his God, close quote. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9, who had appeared unto him twice. Is there any man here that has had God appear unto him? For when, after any extraordinary manner, he draws near unto you, so it may be called? And has not your heart been more turned unto God after such an encounter? Well, if not, then these appearances will be set upon your score of unthankfulness. For you have had a great cost bestowed upon you by the Lord of the harvest and the dresser of the ground. Consider further Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And have you not brought forth proper fruits? Not only fruits, but proper fruits. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. You may be called an unthankful person because you did not render fruit according to the benefits you have received. Now, it is also unthankfulness when Christians are always whining and complaining, discontent because of what they lack. They never praise God for what they have, but continue to beg for more, not considering already what great blessings they have received already. Now, certainly in duties, we are to look to what lies before us and not to what is already accomplished. But the contrary is true of mercies, where we are to focus on what is past more than what is to come. And if you fall short in rendering as much as you might, then how much more unthankful are those who render nothing for all the benefits that they have received, as many do, but instead take all they can get from God without returning anything to him. They have houses to dwell in, which he has built, and yet they pay him no rent. They do not pray unto him or worship him in their families, thus making a church in their houses. They have credit in the world and interest in other men's hearts, but are reluctant to spend ever so little of it for God and for a good cause, making use of their positions for his advantage. Instead, they use everything to advance only their own ends. They have power put into their hands, which the apostle says is from God, and yet do not think of how best to use it for Him in the suppressing of any sin or the advancing of His gospel. They have bodies and souls that He has sought out and purchased, and yet they do not endeavor to glorify God with either, as the Apostle Paul encourages us to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. As God charges them, quote, "They do not say in their hearts, 'Let us fear the Lord who giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in their season,'" close quote, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24. No, they do not even pay Him so much as a good word for all His mercies, much less to study how to render and be truly thankful. They sacrifice to their own nets, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 16, saying in their hearts, "Let their wit, power, and industry has gotten them their wealth and learning," Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 14 and 17. They think that they have earned their own status and that their friends have given them their positions of importance. All these are unthankful persons. The earth renders fruit to him that dresses it. The clouds return the rain they receive from the earth, and the rivers empty themselves into the sea, from whence they had their streams. The body of man returns to the earth from whence it was taken, and the spirit to God that gave it. Yet in your hearts and lives you return nothing to the glory of God's goodness. I'm pretty sure he's not saying that to all of us, but some of us he's definitely saying it to. Number three. The third and the highest degree of unthankfulness is not only rendering poorly or not at all, but repaying and rendering evil and disobedience for the good which has been received. This is the height of unthankfulness. Now, such was the case in the children of Israel, and is in all impenitent persons who are called evil and unthankful. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. And so also in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 25 through 26, quote, "They took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, and did eat, and were filled, and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Well, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their back, and killed the prophets, and wrought great provocations," close quote. They are like fully fed heifers who grew fat and kicked. This is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. When they are fat and lusty, they kick at their owner when he comes to yoke them for his service. And thus was David's sin aggravated, though he was a good man. Quote, "Did I not anoint thee king, and deliver thee from Saul, and gave thee thy master's house and wives? And if this had been too little, would have given thee more," close quote, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 7 through 8. For God makes one mercy the foundation of a greater. And why hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? That's verse 9. And that is to say, why have you used me in this manner and set light by me? Is this how you repay me? And this is the case of all impenitent persons, whom God, out of the riches of his patience, affords time to live here as a space to repent. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. And yet, his patience puts them further from repentance, and in the end, repentance so far off from them that they can never meet it. Quote, because sentence against an evil work is not presently executed, therefore their hearts are set to do evil. Close quote. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because God defers punishing them and cutting them off, they defer repenting, going on in hardness of heart, despising the riches of the very patience which calls them to repentance. Now, those who defer repentance are unthankful persons indeed. They think to spend the best and most precious portion of their youth living in pleasure, and to give God the dregs and last sands of the hourglass. Yet, even then, they would not repent unless they were forced to by necessity. In other words, if I don't repent, or I'm going to go to hell if I don't repent. And do you think that is going to be accepted? Not a chance. And in the meantime, all the blessings that God has bestowed upon them, they have used against him, and they only increase the fire of their lusts, even as God complains of the Israelites, quote, thou takest my gold and silver and makest idols of them, close quote. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 17. And the same may be said of all you covetous worldlings. You have made idols of God's silver and gold and have fallen down to worship them. You have sacrificed everything unto them. And in verse 19 he says, my meat I give thee. You are a glutton. You have sacrificed to your lusts and made a god of your belly. The strong wine and drink that God has given you, you have sacrificed to drunkenness, and your strength unto women, spending everything on your lusts, as James speaks. James chapter 4, verse 3. The wealth which you have had, which you should serve God with, you have instead only made use of it to live at a higher rate of sinning, procuring the sweetest and daintiest of pleasures, and the daintiest and most pleasing sins. The gifts and talents you had have not been used in giving thanks, as the apostle commands, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. But instead, they're spent in foolish jests, abusing the scripture and mocking his saints. The position and influence you have been given is made use of to persecute God's children and ministers. And so also your body, that God has bought at a very dear rate. You have dishonored him with joining the members of it with a harlot, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. You have eyes full of adultery, and your strength is used to pour down drink. Nay, you cannot give him so much as a good word, but instead bring his name up in every company, profaning it by swearing. Those who do this, are you not unthankful? By giving these blessings, God has made you more able to offend him and has strengthened an enemy. And by sparing you for so long, he has only made you more bold to do it and daring in it. All his mercies have only served to fortify your hard heart to hold out siege against him. All the things he sent to woo you unto himself have only drawn your love away from him. Is this how you are repaying the Lord, you foolish and unkind person? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, quote, "For which of these good works do ye stone me?" Close quote. John chapter 10, verse 32. And so I say, for which of all his mercies do you go on thus, sinning against him? What? To fight against him with his own weapons and strength? To betray everything he gives you into your enemy's hands? What can be worse? What iniquity have you ever found in him? When did he ever do you any harm? God will one day argue his case with you and will heap coals of fire upon your head if you do not turn, because you rendered him evil for good. For all the mercies that you have abused will be all the more coals to make hell fire even hotter. Therefore, consider. All of us need to do this. Consider what good things we have received and enjoy from the Lord, and how unthankful we have been. The text says you, but I'm saying we. Humble yourself and turn to him, knowing that nothing will condemn you more than sinning against such light and mercy. And that's the end of the book. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless and preserve you all who have persevered through this. I'll probably put this together in all three parts into a long sermon a couple of months down the road. Anyway, have a good night, everyone.